Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast.
It seems like you know ball the way you talk, so.
Thank you. Someone clip that.
I'm not playing in your league unless I can draft myself.
Outside of football, I live a pretty boring life.
With Matt Harmon.
This is an anti-getting greedy podcast here.
Been seeing you guys' podcast have blown up here recently, so glad to get on.
It's Friday, December 30th, and this will be our final episode for the year, the calendar year 2022. Definitely not the season, definitely not forever. I mean, for God's sakes, but 2022 has been an awesome year for the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast. I really personally appreciate all of you for listening, for tuning in. I appreciate even more all the folks who have jumped on the podcast all year long and put up with me, the many, many great co-hosts, obviously the three core guys and beyond that have been on the show. It's been an awesome year, and I'm very, very, very grateful for everybody for joining me on this ride. We've got a hell of a week 17. I mean, what a mess this week 17 has become. That's why we had to bring in the big guns. We've got Dalton Del Don here, of course. Dalton, doing a two-time duty, buddy. This is a messy week, bro. How you doing?
Doing all right. Yeah, a lot of injury information. Will they play? Won't they? Motivation. I hate trying to guess that. And when the wife gets you a Brock Purdy shirt for Christmas, you must wear that shirt.
Oh, let's go.
So let's go. All right. What's up, guys?
Oh, man. It's good to have you again, Dalton. But like I said, the big guns, the true big guns, we had to bring in a heavy hitter here. Marvin Eloquin doing a lot of great work on the site with expected fantasy points. I just got an alert today about your article. So that's live on the site. I'm sure we'll be referencing that a lot. People should definitely go and check that out. Is this probably the last one, I would guess. But regardless, you should be checking this one out. But Marvin, what's going on, buddy? How you doing?
Not much, man. It's a great week to be on here with a bunch of fun games. So I'm excited to be here. Just recap the craziness of week 17.
Oh, man, it's great. We get to skip the Thursday night debacle. We're obviously, again, you know, I love to reference the game that has happened. We don't know what happened by the time this show gets published. But anyways, I can't imagine the Josh Dobbs fireworks really brought anybody home a big fantasy title. So I'm glad we get to skip that. But there's still a lot of craziness to discuss. What we're going to do here, we're going to preview the games in order of Vegas over under numbers, not including Sunday night and Monday night. Those go at the end as they always do. That worked out really well last week. Maybe your dumb host here probably should have been ordering the shows like that all week, but or all year long. But, you know, we're all learning on the job here. Let's get right into the business. And of course, over under numbers, we're starting with the Chicago Bears. We got to start with the Chicago Bears at the Detroit Lions. The Lions are 6-point favorites at home. Dalton, you gave a big rousing endorsement for Justin Fields on yesterday's episode, but you like both quarterbacks this week.
Yeah, I'll keep it quicker with Fields. He's facing a Lions defense, allowing the most YPA, the most fantasy points, and the most rushing yards to quarterbacks indoors. Lions are also allowing the most yards per play at home. So it's a great matchup for both quarterbacks. Conversely, we have Jared Goff, 20 touchdowns, 3 interceptions over 8 home games this year. I believe it's only Patrick Mahomes is averaging more touchdowns per game than Goff in Detroit this season. And he has all his weapons available here. So I have both. I have Fields is my QB1 and Goff is my QB5 this week.
I mean, that's beautiful. Yeah, I know somebody asked us between those two guys which you prefer, and I know that you have all this optimism about Justin Fields this week, so I love to see that. Marvin, obviously, if both the quarterbacks are going to go off, that's going to trickle down to the wide receivers here.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's obviously a great matchup for all the receivers, but specifically for Detroit, with Chicago allowing the 11th most fantasy points to wide receivers over the last 6 weeks, 8th most to the slot wide receivers. And when we think of the slot, we think of Amon-Ra St. Brown, who rotates there frequently. He's just been amazing over the last, you know, several weeks since coming back from that ankle injury, has averaged a 30.8% target share since week 8. Wide receiver 6 in expected fantasy points, so he has that high baseline. But I'm not just talking about the baseline. I think the ceiling is really high this week with the highest over-under, a great matchup. I honestly think he could be a championship-winning player for fantasy managers this week.
All 6 of his touchdowns at home this season, and he was tackled again inside the 5 last week. It's repeatedly, every single week.
Happens all the time. Yeah, and Jawal Williams always benefits, man.
Yep, yep.
Every time.
Yeah, love St. Brown this week.
It's beautiful, yeah. Listen, I'm all in on St. Brown this week, as I always am. But what about DJ Chark, though, Marvin? Like, I mean, this is a guy who's run second most routes on the team for a long stretch of time here. You know, Chark is definitely I feel like he's going to be obviously more boom bust, and of course St. Brown, but just the nature of his game leads him to be boom bust. But where are you ranking DJ Chark in terms of like wide receivers this week?
I think he could be a serviceable flex option in this matchup, especially over the last 4 weeks. He's had top 24 performance in half PPR leagues in three of the last four games. So I think he's someone who you can trust in, you know, in this matchup where it should be high scoring, where, you know, the Chicago cornerbacks are giving up a lot of points, fantasy points. This is the time to start DJ Chark, especially if you're running out of options. I think he should be a solid flex option this week.
I agree with you. And look, Jameson Williams, he hasn't had like more, he's had like one target in all but one game so far this year. But I would not play Jameson Williams in fantasy, but I'm going to go ahead and predict at least one big play from him in this game. So if he has like a super low receiving yard prop or something like that, I like it. I think we see something from him in this game. It would be nice. I mean, shoot, it would be nice, Dalton, to see something from the guy, because I know he's going to be like one of the most hotly discussed players next year. But we have nothing to go off this year. So it's basically just the college evaluation and the environment here.
Yeah, although I was impressed when 2 weeks ago on one catch, he recorded the fastest speed of any wide receiver that week, which is pretty good for a guy recovering from ACL surgery. So that alone, I was like, oh, that's enough for me to, you know, be impressed with what you can with limited snaps. You're right. He's not playing enough to use for your fantasy teams right now. But next year, absolutely, this team just looks so ready to be a playoff contender.
That's enough for you to rank him as like a top 20 receiver next year.
He's young. He fits my, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I've seen enough. He's top 15. Yeah, exactly.
I love it. Just one last kind of heat check from you guys in this game. The running backs. I know this is, I'll ask Marvin, because you and I talked about it yesterday, Dalton, with the Jamal Williams thing. But Marvin, with DeAndre Swift, with Jamal Williams, how are you treating these guys this week in this high scoring game?
I think you can start them if you don't have many options, but I think the floor is relatively low just because of the fact that they're sharing touches, the fact that, it just fluctuates every single week. Now, obviously with Jamal Williams, I like him a tiny bit more just because of the goal line work and the potential there. But you can't always bank on those those receptions that get stopped at the 2 yard line, 1 yard line. That's not always going to happen. But still, if you need someone, I think you can start them. It's just the floor is relatively low for both of them.
I'm using Swift over Jamal Williams in our full PPR league we're in together, Harmon, and fully expect to be wrong. One thing I will note, despite my love for Goff this week, it could be noted that the Bears' opponents have the highest run rate against them in the entire league this year. So maybe this will be a Jamal Williams and Swift eruption week. It could be that absolutely could exist here, too.
Yeah, two things. Number one, you keep talking about this league that we're in together. I haven't been participating in this league in like 3 weeks because I was the get your money back, which, hey, I'm fine being the get your money back guy. That was me. But you are in the championship, so we're all rooting for you, Dalton, over Scott Barrett.
You.
I mean, for God's sakes,
thank
come you. On. But my main point there was like this over under 52 is really high. The way the Bears play and the way that teams have played back at them certainly could send this game, you know, I mean, I think it'll still be a fantasy friendly environment, but like it can easily be a situation where if the Bears don't hold up their end of the bargain or they drag the Lions down into the mud a little bit, this game could go under the total, I think.
Oh, right, sure. Now the Lions have the highest implied team total of the week in BetMGM, 29 points, a little bit above the Chiefs. I mean, wild stuff. This is the Coors Field of the NFL, man. This should be a really fun DFS matchup. So I fully expect some 13-10 clunker.
Absolutely. Dan Campbell's got to get his manhood back after Steve Wilkes took it from him, and Dan Campbell was so hyped about it. He's even, you know, got up with Steve Wilkes at the end of that game. So he's got to turn this into a slugfest.
I wouldn't love starting David Montgomery this week with Herbert there, and you know Detroit just practiced their run defense all week long like crazy.
100%. I love that. All right, we'll stay in the NFC North here. Aaron Rodgers talking all this smack about you got some little soft dome teams coming into Green Bay to finish the year. Vikings at Packers here. Packers are 3.5-point favorites. Marvin, your Packers. How are we feeling about this matchup this week?
Honestly, not too great. As far as a fan, it's going to be high scoring, but it'll be a tough test. I mean, this Minnesota offense has been really good. Obviously, at times they wait until the second half to really turn it on, but they are a good offense. They have some elite pieces on there. But specifically, I do think the Green Bay Packer wide receivers should have a great game, obviously, with a pretty high over-under as well. Minnesota allowing the fourth most fantasy points to wide receivers over the last 6 weeks. It's a friendly matchup. And I do want to highlight a couple of those receivers there. I mean, Watson, before his injury in the first half, had a 36.4% target share. He was just really, really productive. And we're starting to see them use him in a variety of ways beyond just his deep third ability. And you love to see that for a young wide receiver to develop in that way. But in the second half, without him, you actually had Lazard leading the team with five targets, a 31% target share, and then you had Dobbs second with three targets and a 19% target share. Obviously, very small sample size, but we've seen both of them without Watson thrive earlier in the season, kind of swapping between the wide receiver one role. And in this matchup, I do think both guys could be flex worthy options, potentially wide receiver two options, if Watson is not active. But if Watson's active, he might just have a really good game, and it's the perfect matchup for it too.
Yeah, I really hope Christian Watson is active. Not for any personal reasons, but God, he makes the offense that much better. This goes back to kind of that stale offense that we saw earlier this season, right? Where it was just these. I mean, listen, I like Alan Lazard as a player, but him inhaling 11 targets, 13 air yards per target, like that's not really Alan Lazard's game. I do like Dobbs a lot if Watson sits, but man, if he's not out there, just the ceiling of this whole offense gets pushed down that much. He really, even if I don't think he's a complete number one wide receiver yet, and maybe he'll get there, maybe he won't. It's just his skill set, like you said, and the way they're starting to get him on some of those crossing routes and some shorter game. I would love to see him out there in this matchup. But Dalton, Cousins, he's starting to play a lot better than he was earlier this year, but so is the Green Bay Packers defense.
To further the Watson, the splits are so big with Watson on and off the field for Green Bay's offense this season. And man, a healthy Watson, I'd have ranked as high as number 10 this week in this matchup. If he's inactive, you got to fire up Lazard. Agree with you guys there. Cousins on the other side, he's actually really improved this year when facing pressure, when he struggled throughout his career. And that's nice against the Green Bay team that's, I think, top three or four in pressure rate. It does set up nicely for Dalvin Cook against a team that struggles against the run, but I just think this is going to force Cousins to throw. He hasn't been any worse on the road, actually higher YPA than at home this season. So like him as a top 10, easy top 10, maybe more like top 7 fantasy QB this week in this matchup. And Justin Jefferson, obviously, just going to keep going crazy. Green Bay should be worth noting. He's like, I believe DVOA's top-ranked pass defense over the last month, but man, how much is weighted on last week's second half against Tua and those three picks, when he was concussed? I mean, I wonder how heavily weighted that is. But they're clearly playing better defense than they were earlier this year. But I think Cousins is still capable of beating them and putting up nice fantasy stats.
I like AJ Dillon to get into the end zone at least once in this game, just because I know the matchup obviously is more focused on the Vikings secondary and, the way that they've been giving it up. But if they get down inside the 10-yard line and even inside the red zone generally, like they're giving the ball to AJ Dillon at this point. He's been very efficient the last month or so. So if you have him in your championship matchup and Aaron Jones clearly banged up too, that's a problem right now. So I think this is a good spot for AJ Dillon as well. All right, let's move on to the next one here. Oh, the super mega interesting Broncos at the Kansas City Chiefs. The Chiefs are 12.5-point favorites. Jerry Jeudy, Marvin, his usage has been interesting. Hey, he's on Twitter too, like defending Russ, like quote tweeting some Barstool Sports thing. So he's out there going to bat for Russ. He's also been going to bat for your fantasy teams lately.
Yeah, he's been great. And I know the Kansas City Chiefs have been a little better against wide receivers as of late. Their 8th best matchup on the season, 17th best over the last 6 weeks. So just, a little better than they usually were for the whole season, I should say. But Jerry Jeudy specifically, since coming back from that ankle sprain in early November, over the last 3 weeks, we've seen him kind of take on those starter snaps again, plus 70% snaps over the last three games, a 26.2% target share, 33% of the air yards, wide receiver 17 in my expected points model. He's been a wide receiver too in usage, which gives you that confidence to start him as that. But then we've also seen the upside of getting into the end zone and just having those big plays. So it's been encouraging to see that for Jerry Jeudy. He's been struggling with injuries. Very promising prospect, obviously, entering the league a couple of years ago, but he's finally getting it, coming together with the opportunities here with Russ and everything. Even though Russ hasn't been great, Jerry Jeudy has been awesome over the last 3 weeks. And also it's been encouraging to see him continue that even with Sutton returning last week. So for me, I this is a great matchup. They're going to have to score points. They're going to have to keep up with Mahomes. So I'm starting Jerry Jeudy as a wide receiver too this week.
Love it. Dalton, I feel like you and I were sort of not Jerry Jeudy guys. Maybe you're more of a Jerry Jeudy guy than I am, but it's nice to see, like, I think the lack of faith that we had in Cortland Sutton, I guess, and Jerry Jeudy sort of taking this late season surge. It's been nice to see.
Yeah, I was definitely Jeudy over Sutton guy. Maybe too little too late, but it is nice to see. Hopefully he can stay healthy and get better quarterback play next season. On the flip side, Kansas City's wide receiver usage is just a disaster. Justin Watson tied for the team lead last week in targets, and now they're getting Kadarius Toney returned. They're getting Mecole Hardman likely back this week. It's just, very frustrating that this team has the most yards per play in the last 5 years without Tyreek Hill, and it's not helping fantasy managers too much. In fairness to them, over this four-week stretch at Denver, at Houston, Seattle, and now Denver, all four of those opponents rank top four against wide receivers this season. So it's a tough stretch here, but another one against the Broncos this week. Juju, you're probably using them in PPR, but it's just he's been a little frustrating with the injuries. He looked like he was becoming really, really reliable there, and now there's just so many more bodies.
I asked this question on my other podcast this week earlier on. The Justin Watson thing. What is the deal with the Justin Watson thing? Okay, like he's run the second most routes on the team, I think, like three straight weeks, and it's got 0 yards, no catches, no yards. He's been targeted a little, like two targets, four targets last week, nothing. I mean, what is Andy Reid's thing with Justin Watson? I have no, like, does he have some incriminating evidence on Andy? Does he have something going on there? Like, because it's bizarre, man. They've invested all of these, and look, I don't think Sky Moore, I don't think Kadarius Toney, obviously Juju, like these guys aren't necessarily like outside boundary receivers, like they're playing, like should be playing a bunch of X, whatever, but like Justin Watson's even playing over MVS. I don't even think like MVS is that great of a player either, of course, but it's bizarre. The Justin Watson thing is really got me tilted. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, it's definitely worrisome too that, for dynasty purposes, obviously this is very much this week, but for Sky Moore, someone who was highly touted entering the league, and the fact that he's playing behind some of these guys who we thought wouldn't even have an opportunity this year is kind of mind-boggling. So it's a little worrisome. You can't really trust any of these wide receivers outside of Juju, in my opinion. That's why it's truly just Travis Kelce, wide receiver one in this offense. And he's the guy that'll take fantasy managers to the championship.
100%. I'm really interested to see what this receiver core looks like next year, because I think Juju could price himself out of the Chiefs rotation, and we're just not gonna have a lot to go on like Toney or Sky Moore or any of these guys going into next year, unless they play big playoff roles, which would be kind of surprising for either guy at this point, but we'll see. All right, move on to Jaguars at Texans. We have talked a lot about motivation, at least on the podcast yesterday, Dalton. So I think that's really just the big question here. How much will these guys play when clearly, I mean, the Titans, not the Malik Willis part of it, but they rested Derrick Henry because they were looking towards next week. So the Titans are looking towards next week. How much are the Jaguars looking towards next week? I think that's the biggest question here.
Yeah, the point spread suggests that they're going to play their starters, and Peterson claims they are, but I just don't exactly trust them, at least the whole game. I mean, Trevor Lawrence missing practice with this toe injury. Why would you risk it? Travis Etienne, on one hand, has an argument with no Henry and Jacobs' situation and McCaffrey's usage too. Etienne has an argument to be the number one ranked fantasy back this week against Houston if we knew he were playing his normal, snaps. But as is, there's a bit of risk if you're considering him in DFS. And Trevor Lawrence, I know a bunch of fantasy managers have this decision in championships, and I guess roll with him like he's going to play the whole game. But do you guys think otherwise? I mean, just be aware that there is some risk involved that he doesn't play the whole game.
And that's, Travis Etienne's the guy that I think would be the most productive from a fantasy perspective on this team. But I do agree there's that concern of them just not having to really play as hard this week. And honestly, I could see them, going up, quite a few points and then just honestly taking it easy for the rest of the game. And that's the concern here. But it is a great matchup for Travis Etienne, who's been a running back one from a usage standpoint. and obviously just hasn't found the end zone over the last couple of weeks, several weeks, and that's just what's missing in, to take him from an RB2 to an RB1 for fantasy purposes. So the usage is there. You start him, hope that he's the guy, but yeah, I'm definitely concerned as well, because a lot of these teams, you know, there's not as much motivation to necessarily give it your all. You know, we've talked about a couple games where that's the opposite, but this is one of those where there's not much on the line.
Yeah, it's tough. Anything else stand out from this game? I mean, I think obviously the biggest questions we've just hit him, but either one of you guys got anything else on the receivers, anything? Like, is this another Zay Jones week? Are we back on the Zay Jones train after he had like 3 touchdowns one game and then like 2 points the next game? What do we think about the receivers, either one of you guys?
Houston's actually been a horrible matchup for receivers for whatever reason this year. So game script often dictates that. But for what it's worth, they've shut down receivers. They're like bottom five. But for what it's worth. But Zay Jones, he's a tough boom bust type weekly guy. I'm not going to predict it. Tough one.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Rams at Chargers here. Marvin, Cam Akers. Looked like one of the worst draft picks you could have possibly made earlier this year. And now he's winning you championships here late in the year. If you somehow have been playing him.
Yeah. I mean, Cam Akers has been outstanding, where, you know, if you held on to him, you might have a guy that could actually be serviceable in your championship week. And with it being likely, I don't know if this is going to be one of the higher scoring games. It probably won't be. And, you know, for Cam Akers specifically, he's just been one of the most involved running backs over the last 3 weeks, especially in the playoffs. Highest snap share of the season at 75.5%, 39.6% of the team's opportunities. Anytime you get close to 40-50%, you're up there, and that'll translate into fantasy production, which we've seen. RB15 and expected fantasy points. So the usage is there. I think they don't have much else to rely on other than him, really, in that offense. So you play him, and it's a decent matchup with the Chargers allowing the 5th highest yards per carry over the last 6 weeks. So he's one of the guys you can probably rely on this week with so much uncertainty across the board at the running back position.
Yeah, the run defense is definitely, they've stopped giving up those like big gash runs, but it's still like little, you know, 5, 4, 4, 5, 6 yard chunks here and there. And I agree. It's funny, you know, about a month ago, it was like, well, can't trust the Rams. They switch one guy, this guy, this every single week. And then they outright cut Daryl Henderson. And here we are with Cam Akers, who's been great. But Dalton, Cam Akers, he's been awesome. Potentially, where do you rank Cam Akers this week?
He's my RB10. He's treated like a workhorse, like the matchup. He looks good. So yeah, Mayfield has the offense competent. So yeah, I have him as a top 10 RB this week. I'm in on him. And then what about your guy, Austin Eckler? Do you have any inside information here, Harmon? Because he's a big concern here on the flip side. Because if he has to miss this game, obviously be a huge, massive blow without Henry and Eckler for fantasy managers in the championship. But Joshua Kelly, you know, he's not an equal replacement. It would not be the same role whatsoever. Keenan Allen may catch 20 balls if Eckler has to sit out. But yes, that's obviously the key here in the Chargers game is Eckler's health.
Yeah, so obviously when we had him on the show this week, he basically said like, I want to play all 17 games. Like, I want to play every single week. That's what he would like to do. But I feel like he gave it, you know, because I've had a bunch of people reach out and ask me this. And number one, I don't know.
Yeah, I was saying tongue in cheek, of course.
I don't know. Okay, and I don't think Austin knows right now either. I think, as he said on the show, like, I think it was pretty straightforward. It's going to be a coach's decision whether he goes or not. Obviously, he's dealing with a knee situation. It's on the injury report. You know, we knew that before we taped on Tuesday. So like, there's that going on there. I think that. I'm guessing just like everybody else. And I don't think Austin would know at this point of the week either. But I do think, you know, we have talked about Josh Kelly on the show before with Eckler, and he's been impressed and happy with how he's looked this year. And at times, I think probably even wanted more of like a 2-back split there, but they've just not been able to really run the ball. And that's the thing, is that this running game has not been great regardless, you know, for a lot of different reasons. I don't know that Josh Kelly would come in there and obviously have Eckler's role, but I do think if Eckler misses the game, then Kelly would sort of get on that kind of like low end RB2, high end RB3 flex type of radar, at least for me.
That sounds fair for sure.
Yeah. We'll see. Like I said, I know that before he had that injury, Austin was really happy with how Josh Kelly was kind of mixing in there and rotating. And obviously then he had a long stretch on IR. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it hasn't exactly been the most fruitful run game in the entire world. Regardless, this game, Next one here. Really interesting to me. Jets are traveling to Seattle. Man, Dalton, we've talked about Geno lately and how he's been falling in the EPA per dropback metrics. And, you know, obviously Tyler Lockett sounds like he's going to play. That's great. One week too late to save your boy, but that's fine.
Yeah, Geno's gotten 5.4 YPA back-to-back games. As you note, 21st in EPA per dropback since week 10. But some tough matchups. Maybe gets Lockett back this week. But it's another tough matchup. The Jets are allowing the fewest yards per play in the NFL. The fewest passing touchdowns this season, just 13. And will Lockett be 100% because Marquise Goodwin's banged up? Will Disley's out? Noah Fant is also banged up. This is probably completely meaningless, but I was just looking this up. The split is maybe worth noting, but again, probably not. Geno Smith has gotten 9.7 YPA indoors this year and just 7.1 outdoors. So now he's going to have to face a Jets secondary with some banged up receivers. And he struggled, you know, maybe some more film was on him. So the second half has contributed to that EPA per dropback, a complete turnaround. So I don't know, a little skeptical. I would not love this matchup if I'm relying on Geno in my fantasy championship.
Yeah, that's fair. Marvin, I think the biggest news of this game, though, is fantasy savior, Jets savior himself, Mike White, is back in the mix.
Yeah, it's about time. I'm glad he's back for all of my Garrett Wilson shares. That's definitely a positive right there. And, you know, just to highlight what Mike White has done in his three games as a starter, he used the QB10 in EPA per play, QB15 in success rate, QB17 completion percentage over expected in those three games. And, you know, that's not anything, you know, super elite or anything, but when Zach Wilson is on the complete other end of the spectrum, near the bottom in almost every metric, this is going to be an upgrade. They seem to pass the ball more also with Mike White in those three games, and that's obviously going to mean good things for Garrett Wilson, who was a wide receiver one in usage and in volume and expected fantasy points. Every metric you look at, he was up there in that time span. And so this is obviously perfect timing. And I do think, even though it is a little bit of a tougher matchup, I do think you can start Garrett Wilson as a, you know, borderline wide receiver one, probably more of a wide receiver two, but he'll be good this week.
Yeah, I think if you need any of these Jets players, you're happy to see Mike White back there. Even like Tyler Conklin, I think if you're hurting at tight end, like I think he is potentially back in the mix here. Even the run game, man. Obviously, they fall so far behind against the Jaguars quickly, or they get out of that game script. Like, they weren't able to establish that run game with Bam Knight either. But I think as long as he's healthy and the injury reports are pretty clear, I think Knight makes like a pretty good start at running back as well. So yeah, we're just happy Mike White's back there. Which is crazy to say, but it makes a huge difference for this Jets offense. Let's move to the next game here: Saints at Eagles. Eagles are 6.5-point favorites. Marvin, you've got some notes here on Gardner Minshew with these wide receivers. Definitely. Let's pretend that Jalen Hurts doesn't play, because as of today, he was a limited participant in practice on Thursday. I believe he took all of the reps ahead of Gardner Minshew, but let's exist in a world here where Jalen Hurts is not starting. What does it do for the players in this offense?
Yeah, I was taking a look at Gardner Minshew's efficiency metrics over the, you know, week 16 as a starter, and this is from rbsdm.com. They do some quarterback analytics there, some great work. In neutral situations, Gardner Minshew was third in EPA per play in week 16, fifth in completion percentage over expected, and all that in a, obviously a tougher matchup there, but it helps to have some elite weapons as well in A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith. But the fact that he was, you know, that efficient, you know, shows that they can function in this offense with Gardner Minshew at quarterback. And as far as the target shares go, he relied heavily in Devontae Smith, 35% of the targets. I mean, that's elite target share right there. A.J. Brown with 24%, which is very respectable. He had a good game as well. And so if we have another week of Gardner Minshew, that's not the end of the world. I think for fantasy managers, it can still be a good week for the wide receivers that we're relying on, potentially for Dallas Goedert as well. And then Gardner Minshew should be a serviceable quarterback as well if you need a streamer.
Gardner Minshew knows ball. He knows that Devontae Smith is a number one wide receiver. He knows ball. the Jalen Hurts thing is not the only big absence that we're potentially worried about on this offense, Dalton. Lane Johnson he put off surgery. He's going to return, I guess, most likely in the playoffs. But what does it do to this offense?
First, I concur about Minshew. Like him as a top 10 fantasy QB this week. He would be an option I would definitely be starting over Geno Smith. Heard a crazy stat from Rob Pizzola. Last year, the Eagles allowed a league-high pressure rate, 47%, when Lane Johnson was off the field. So that is something to pay attention to this weekend. Let's see how much that affects him 1 week later. Because I was all in on Miles Sanders. And, you know, hearing that, obviously pressure rate. But, you know, it's a big loss on the offensive line. People call them the best tackle in football. So, I'll be curious to see how they perform 1 week after losing him.
Yeah, a big part of this offense's success has been that offensive line and how good it's been, the way they're able to run block. I mean, they're just a bunch of badasses up there. And obviously the pass protection has been great, too. Just a couple things real quick from both of you guys. Number one, let's say Jalen Hurts does play. Are you playing him like with no restrictions? Because it is a little concerning, right? Like the Eagles beat the Saints. They improved their own draft position, which is nice because they have the Saints first round pick. But I mean, it's the damn Saints. Like you'd think the Eagles can wipe the floor with them and just keep moving on. But Dalton, if Jalen Hurts is out there, you playing Jalen Hurts with no restrictions?
So I was just asked this question, Hurts or Goff this week, and I actually told him Goff with a Hurts with compromised Hurts. But I have Goff so high as my fifth. So like Burrow, right. Mahomes, Allen, Fields, and Goff. But then I'd probably go Hurts. Yes. But to me, that's a tough decision because I don't think he's going to play, man. There's some concern. He's not even 100% for their first playoff game. I think this is moot and it's definitely going to be Minshew. But if that would be a tough decision, and I hope it doesn't come to that.
Marvin, what about you?
Yeah, I agree. There's definitely that hesitation, and it depends on who you have as your backup, right, to plug in there. And I agree, Goff would be someone who I'd play comfortably, Justin Fields, those guys, Joe Burrow. But it comes to a point where if you're looking at like Geno Smith and Jalen Hurts, if he is active, I think you just have to play him because he could take one play for a 50-yard right. touchdown, you know. But it all depends. It sounds like he's not fully healthy yet. That's why I fully expect them to just run with Gardner Minshew, who was serviceable last week. He'll be fine at least for the regular season, and then they'll run with Hurts in the playoffs.
I think that's probably what happens too, but we'll see. All right, Saints side, real quick. Again, both you guys, starting with you, Marvin. Alvin Kamara, yes or no? Chris Olave, yes or no?
Yes to both. I think you just start him. Obviously with Kamara, he hasn't been the same guy from a receiving standpoint that it's kind of tailed off over the last couple of weeks, but It's still Kamara. I mean, it's hard to bench that guy. And Chris Olave has been elite from a volume standpoint over the last several weeks, regardless of who the quarterback is, you know, obviously when he's healthy. And so if he's healthy, you play him.
Dalton, you too?
Eagles lost some secondary guys. Yeah, you're playing them. But I guess I would say it like this. I could strongly consider if you have a Tyler Algier or a Brian Robinson sitting there, I think it's worth debating in this matchup of Kamara. But for most teams, yeah, I mean, I still have him ranked as a top 20 back this week.
Okay, fair. Definitely wasn't a personal question about the Chris Olave thing. That was
he's a tough one too. Coming, he hasn't played in a while. That's a tough one. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, notice I avoided that question. Yeah, yeah.
It was either yes or yes, right, Matt?
Yeah, it was yes. It was yes or hate myself. I don't know which one do you want?
Yeah,
yeah. Thanks for tapping out, Dalton. Appreciate you helping your buddy here. That's
Andy
great
Dalton
friendship.
Has at least been playing pretty well. And last week, a total pass. You know, with the wind and theoretically, they should be having to throw the ball playing from behind against the Eagles. I think Olave is a wide receiver three. We're starting. Sure.
Isn't Andy Dalton like PFF's fifth graded quarterback? Something
high.
Like that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. That's interesting. All right. Here's an interesting game. Cardinals at Falcons. Gross. All right, but we'll start with Dalton, and we'll start with the return of the great Colt McCoy.
Yeah, I know. I thought you'd laugh at what I put in there, but I am curious how it affects Greg Dortch because the guy saw 11 targets and 10 catches. He's the minimum in DFS this week. So I don't know. Some of us out there might be interested in saving some salary there, but now a quarterback switch. What does that mean? So, Atlanta, they entered the year. Many people thought their strength with their cornerbacks and they got lit up early on, but AJ Terrell's gotten healthier and they've been very tough on the outside over the past month. So I know Connor will get every single touch and probably the opponent's touches in the backfield to this game. But otherwise, if the outside receivers are shut down, Dortch over the middle here for cheap. No.
Gross. I saw our buddy Ian Harditz like put out something that if Greg Dortch and Rondale Moore were the same person player, they'd be like wide receiver 22 or something this year, which is I think I feel like great stat, but also just perfectly encapsulates what's wrong with the Cardinals offense. And it's like, all right, we've got all these guys. Let's pump Greg Dortch up with volume. I don't mean to be disrespectful to Greg Dortch, but I'm just saying here. Marvin, I feel like Dalton and I have spent an absurd amount of time this week just gushing about Tyler Allgeier. So why don't you do a little bit of a gushing about Tyler Allgeier, or bring us back down to earth about this guy?
No, I'll have to just add on to that. I'll have to agree with you guys, because I do think this is a solid just matchup, as well as with the opportunities that we've seen for Tyler Allgeier, that it's trending in the right direction. Atlanta continues to average one of the highest, actually the highest, early down neutral situation rushing rate at nearly 61%. They want to run the ball, for better or for worse. And Allgeier in week 16, 36% of the opportunities, RB7 in expected fantasy points. It could be another RB2 performance where, you know, Dalton, you were talking about how you might want to bench some guys for Tyler Allgeier. I think this is, he's got a good matchup in front of him, and the opportunities are there. So, also worth noting, though, that the Cardinals have allowed the most targets and receiving yards to running backs over the last 6 weeks. So that could be, you know, maybe something for, CPAT there. But, you know, it's, I still think you start Tyler Allgeier. He's the RB1 in this backfield, and he should have a good game.
I'll just ask you this real quick, Marvin, you know, 'cause I know you do a lot of dynasty stuff. Mm-hmm. The history of these like day three running backs that come and like pop at the end of the year. Damian Pierce is going to be another one that's discussed to death. Like I'm going to mute half my timeline. It's like, this is the time. This is the time to sell Damian Pierce. Nobody's telling you this except everybody. Tyler Allgeier, how would you feel about him if you had him on your dynasty team right now?
Yeah. I mean, he's very similar in my opinion to Chiefs running back Isaiah Pacheco, who is a day three running back as well. Who's had some, you know, solid production over the last couple of weeks, over 800 scrimmage yards. And I did actually take a look at this since 2010. There are only 16 day three running backs that have exceeded 800 scrimmage yards in their rookie year. But when you look at this list, it's not the most encouraging, where you have guys like Alfred Morris, Jordan Howard, who have repeated their performance from their rookie year and have been fantasy relevant. But then you have guys like Zach Stacy, Roy Helu, Jeremy Langford, who was eventually replaced by Jordan Howard, Andrew Williams, and many more, the guys that just don't necessarily get that second opportunity again the following year. And I know this is probably not what you want me to say, but I would be willing to, and I don't think anyone's going to like pay a first round pick for him in a dynasty league anyways, but if you can package him with another player to upgrade, I would definitely consider it, because the odds are he might be replaced. We've seen that in the past recently with Michael Carter. I mean, it's a good running back class too that's coming up. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they grab a running back in the third round, and the quality of running back there is going to be better than it was in 2022.
Oh, I have no agenda here. Let me be clear about this. I was blank slate asking the question. And you got to go and bring up Jeremy Langford, dude. I remember the Jeremy Langford wars from whatever year that was. Good God, we have wasted a lot of time. A lot of time fighting about stupid like day three running backs here. So that's my point. That's my point about this. Sit out the wars on Twitter if you're going to take a sword and shield to this one.
One thing worth adding for this week, this is Desmond Ridder's first home game, and he's coming off a couple of tough ones in New Orleans, in Baltimore. I mean, so maybe, you know, he gets a little bit more competent quarterback play too in Atlanta's offense. So, yeah.
He is an interesting guy to evaluate the rest of the way to see like what level of quarterback is Atlanta gonna look at, like, and I think so far it would be kind of crazy to just rock with Desmond Ridder next year, but you know, again, what he shows will be sort of a part of dictating that conversation. I love Drake London in this spot. You know, he's almost 40% target share his last three games. Like, he's been fantastic, and I could speak about how good I think Drake London is for hours and hours and hours, but I do think this is a pretty good spot for him this week if you have him. I think he's a low end wide receiver too, probably a guy that you can definitely make your flex play this week. But all right, after all that Jeremy Langford, Roy Helu trip down memory lane we just took, we got to take a quick break. When we come back, we're talking about Dalton's favorite game of the, maybe favorite game of the season here, coming up next. And we're back. Dalton, 49ers, 9.5-point favorites against whatever the hell is left of the Raiders at this point. So who's going to play? We know it's going to be Jarrett Stidham making his first career start. We talked about it yesterday. What do you do, man? If you've got a Devontae Adams, you got a Josh Jacobs, like, you're looking at old Jarrett Stidham there starting at the other side of it. What are we doing here? How much is like your 49ers going to absolutely crush this Raiders preseason squad?
Yeah, the spread's up to nearly 10 points. And the question really remains, though, the playing time on both sides. Even Shanahan's hinted at Bosa sitting this game. And is McCaffrey really going to see the usage if Carr was starting? Those are questions, you know, certainly DFS players are asking themselves. Josh Jacobs now has to face a Niners defense that hasn't allowed a running back to reach 60 rushing yards against them this season. I mean, Chandler Jones is not playing. Are Adams and Jacobs going to get a full allotment of snaps? Who knows, but you're probably playing them even in this disgusting matchup with Stidham, who's been pretty bad when he's been on the field. I believe it's his first career start, too. So it's a tough one. Maybe the Niners are hung over New Year's Eve in Las Vegas and take them lightly, you know, hearing about, you know, with Carr being benched. There's a lot of games with motivation questions, and this is a sneaky one because you think the Vegas locker room likes that Derek Carr, the nicest guy in the sport, has been sent home? I mean, that's got to be awkward and weird, too. So
no.
I have no idea.
Devontae Adams said it himself, like, nobody likes it. Nobody likes it.
Yeah, I have no idea how to handicap this game and won't pretend to.
Yeah, no, it's really confusing. And just on the Josh Jacobs thing, Marvin, because we just talked about, you know, Tyler Allgeier. I've had people ask, like, I want to play Tyler Allgeier over Josh Jacobs, which sounds crazy because Josh Jacobs he's the running back one. He's been one of the best picks you could have made in fantasy. Is that too crazy, though, to sit him this week for a guy like Allgeier?
No, I don't think so, just because there's less uncertainty with his workload than there is for Josh Jacobs in a tougher matchup. And I think if there was someone who's going to break that 60-yard threshold, it would be Josh Jacobs. But that assumes that he's going to get that full workload, and we don't know that. You know, they're kind of going towards youth. Why not look at some of the other running backs? They already know Josh Jacobs is good, and they might not even bring him back next year, right? Because he's a free agent. So there's a lot of uncertainty there. And, you know, it's about the worst time that they could do this, 2 weeks before the end of the season. But, you know, hey, that's just how it goes, I guess.
I got one final Niner note. George Kittle has 6 touchdowns of 25-plus yards this season, just to bring it full circle, the most since 2001 T.O. from the 49ers. All right, continue, sorry.
I love it.
Number one, nobody knows what you mean full circle, because that was the pre-show talk. We had a full, like, 5
Oh, the Terrell Owens talk wasn't even on the podcast. That's great. That's amazing. I forgot about that guy. All right, sorry.
No,
that was a long season. It's been a long season. Sorry.
You know, Dalton means business, though, when he gets up close to the mic to talk his George Kittle stats, where he's wearing his BCB shirt. But Dalton, you're feeling it, bro. I love to see it. Okay, Marvin. Right.
Carry on.
back to business, Dalton. This championship weekend, we don't need you just here taking victory laps on George Kittle. Although, hey, George Kittle going to help you take that victory lap in your fantasy championship here.
Dude, I have a George Kittle bobblehead behind me, but I move it for the art behind me for these podcasts yesterday, and it fell and it broke both his hands and broke both his feet. So I cursed poor George Kittle. So yeah, oh, we're on the topic here. Yeah, it's awful. I know.
Bro.
That brutal.
Leave your voodoo.
I know. I'm talking. I know. Tell your wife that what that means. I know. It's brutal. It's bad. I know.
As soon as this podcast is done, I'm going to ask her what that means, because that... Yo, that's not good. And if anything happens to George Kittle right now,
it's on me.
It's on you. Oh, it's 100% on you right now. So that's tough. That's a tough scene there from Dalton. But Marvin, any concerns about CMC and any of these guys like Dalton brought up? Like, how much are they going to play? How hard are they going to go against this this tanking little Raiders team?
Yeah, I mean, in theory, it's a great matchup for fantasy running backs and fantasy tight ends. So I would default to say, you know, Christian McCaffrey and George Kittle should have good games. You know, I don't expect the Raiders to score a lot of points. So then CMC could be run quite a bit, but it does make you wonder in the second half, do they need to try? I mean, if they're up by 21 points, who knows? It's 21-0. I could honestly see that in the second half. And do you then run CMC, who, you know, we don't want to get injured when they're trying to make the playoffs and make a run? I could see them resting him, but he's been the RB1 in fantasy usage over, you know, in his time with the 49ers. So it's hard to bench him, but I would, you know, say it might be closer to 60% of that usage, maybe just because of the matchup and the motivation to play.
God, what a disaster of a week.
Now, we always have to add that caveat that because of everything that's going on, the craziness that, hey, they might not play their starters for the full game, which is crazy to think in week 17, 2 weeks away from the end of the season.
It's wild. All right, Dolphins at Patriots here for this next one. Marvin, you know, I'll throw this one back to you. Obviously, Xavien Howard, I think, looks like he might not play in this game. The wide receiver matchup has generally been great for going against the Dolphins. Passing game matchup has been pretty good against the Dolphins, but we don't really care about the Patriots. I don't even know if Mac Jones cares about the Patriots passing game. I'm going to go ahead and say no, I don't think he cares. I don't think the receivers care about him. I don't think they care about Matt Patricia, having them run into each other. So we can just put that aside, but we do care about Ramondre Stevenson coming off a really down game last week.
Yeah, he's coming off a down game, but he's been a top 20 running back in expected fantasy points or in fantasy usage in all but three games this year. And two of those games were early on. They were still kind of ramping him up. He didn't get full starter snaps. And then one of those games, he left early with an ankle injury. So other than that, he's been a really, really safe, high-end RB2, mid-range RB2 for most of the year. And Miami's giving up the sixth most fantasy points to running backs, the third most receiving yards to running backs over the last 6 weeks. We know Ramondre excels in that part of the game, in the receiving game, so I do think it's a bounce-back game for him this week.
Yeah, that would be great. We need a week 17 hero, for God's sakes. Why not be Ramondre Stevenson? We know one starter at least will not be playing in this game, Dalton. Tua is definitely not going to play. Who knows when we'll see him again. Teddy Bridgewater, we talked about it yesterday, Dalton. I feel like we were kind of feeling okay about seeing what Teddy could do in this offense, but it is a difficult spot.
Yeah, not too much to add. I'm just curious to see Bridgewater stepping into an offense that's been great. Second most yards per play in the league this year behind only KC. And now going to New England to play a defense that's allowing the fewest yards per play at home this year. So should be a fun one. Final note on Stevenson. A guy's been so good all year. That fumble, like we said, I think Belichick says he's totally going to go back to him. And the Dolphins have actually not allowed a running back to reach 70 yards rushing since week 6. But as Marvin points out, totally vulnerable through the air. And why not just pepper Stevenson with targets? So he's definitely a guy who could be an easy top 5 fantasy back this week.
Love that call. All right. Oh, God. NFC South, baby. Panthers at Buccaneers. 40.5 point over under here feels pretty generous for these two teams. I will say it. I'm openly rooting for the Carolina Panthers. Dalton's got a note on the Bucs offense, so he's definitely not going first because I don't want to think, talk, or discuss anything about this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. I'm ready for them to be out of my lives. I'm ready to see Marvin Sam Darnold hosting a playoff game because this offense has been super efficient with him at the helm.
Yeah, this feels like deja vu because I'm pretty sure I talked about DJ Moore and the revival of DJ Moore when I was last on this show. And then
it's been all year. It's been like three different. He's back. Nah, he's gone again. He's back. Yep. Most of them coincide with when is Baker Mayfield get on the field for this team. But Baker Mayfield obviously starting for a completely different team on a completely different coast at this point. So, yes, we're back to the fourth or fifth revival of DJ Moore.
We're back. He's officially back and he's here to stay, hopefully. Fingers crossed. But obviously over the last several weeks, he's been really solid. Has had one down game there, but otherwise it's been really solid since week 12. A plus 30% target share in all but one game with Darnold, a plus 35% air yard share in all games. Three of four of those games, he had over 50% of the air yards. I mean, he's just being targeted downfield nonstop, and those are high value opportunities. Now, with that, there's obviously the risk of it being more of a low baseline game. But if those opportunities connect, and we've seen that over the last couple of weeks, some solid games there from DJ Moore, that in a matchup that's allowed the 13th most fantasy points per game over the last six weeks to the wide receiver position, I do think this could be, a solid game for DJ Moore where there is some incentive for them to obviously play and play well. So I'm hoping it runs to DJ Moore and that this comeback is here to stay.
Yeah, and Dalton, you beautiful bastard, you're the one who talked about DJ Moore and how much he's been running out of the slot, which has been great to see. I mean, this is something I've been complaining about with the Panthers under Matt Rhule, was they just threw DJ Moore out at the X receiver spot, especially prior to this year. And I'll just go and run the most difficult routes on the team. We're not going to do anything to move you around, despite like DJ Moore's best stuff is when he's in the slot, when he's in space. Like I would love to see just more and more from that going forward. So again, another feather in the cap of Steve Wilks for what he's done taking over this team and some of the adjustments they've made since then. Dalton, as you could tell, I'm still talking about the Panthers here. I don't want to talk about the Bucks, but if we must, go ahead.
I have bad news for you, Harmon. Not only are the Bucks probably going to win this game, but it just seems inevitable that they're going to beat the Cowboys in the round one.
And that right there is why I want the Panthers to win this game so bad, so we can avoid that for so many reasons. I have so many Cowboy fans friends. Like, I don't want them melting down over text to me about this. How old man Brady and, you know, Byron Leftwich and Todd Bowles bumbling around with the Bucks, like coming in upsetting the, I want to avoid all of that. Want to avoid any of the, well, there's Tom. He could still do it. Even in a down year, I'm trying to avoid all that, man. I'm trying to avoid that.
Both those teams are especially affected by home road performance. They got Donovan Smith back, left tackle. Ryan Jensen was just designated to return at center. They're a top 10 offense this year in hurry up. So all it takes is just one little switch. I mean, I'm not saying I want to see it happen, but this is still a pretty loaded roster. And if they just start pretending that they're playing from behind and hurry up and they become competent on offense, like they have looked at times. Remember that Seattle game in Germany or any time the final 2 minutes of any game? I don't know. I'm just mentally preparing myself for them to beat the Cowboys. I'm not saying I want it to happen, but I've come to that the mental preparation conclusion.
I mean, at that point, by the way, they beat the Cowboys. All bets are off. Brady's going to win another Super Bowl. Or he's at least going to be in another Super Bowl. If I'm there in Arizona in February and the freaking Bucks are in the Super Bowl, I'm gonna lose it. Like, I mean, give me a break. Because the NFC is just not that – it's not that strong. Like, he could go in there and upset the Eagles. Why not? Why not? I mean, everybody – and then run through everybody else on way. Why not? I mean – This is why we as a nation, we as a podcast family for sure, need to be putting all of our energy, manifesting all of our good vibes to the Carolina Panthers this weekend. And hey, I got a long, complicated history with the Carolina Panthers. I'm not interested in anything good happening to them, but we have to avoid that situation that Dalton just painted there. We have to avoid that as a nation. All right, let's move on. Let's move on to Browns at Commanders. Oh boy, what an exciting bounce back spot. Dalton, you got this Bucks thing going, and then on the outline here, you've got Be Wary of Terry this week, which cute rhyme, but also like what? Again, I thought we were pals.
I know you love scary Terry. Sorry, I thought it'd be funny there. But his target rate falls from about 29% with Taylor Heinicke to around 14% or 15% with Carson Wentz, who's starting this game. McLaurin has 50th in expected half PPR points per game with Carson Wentz over six games. Jahan Dotson looks like an alpha emerging for targets. This matchup should call for running Brian Robinson against Cleveland and Deshaun Watson, who, by the way, ranks 41st out of 42 qualified quarterbacks in EPA per dropback since returning. So, yeah, I don't love Terry McLaurin's setup this week. Obviously, he's a great player, Harmon.
Yeah, of course he's a great player. And listen, I love Curtis Samuel, but I think Carson Wentz might love Curtis Samuel more than me. Because when he gets in there, like even John Dotson's like target rates and stuff like that go down. It's just, it's crazy. It's bizarre. The whole Carson Wentz thing is, God, I can't believe we've got Wentz back in our lives. Marvin, there is one guy, of course, we are excited about in the run game here for Washington.
Yeah, that's Brian Robinson in a matchup where the Browns are allowing the third most fantasy points and yards per carry to running backs over the last 6 weeks. Brian Robinson has been just solid every single week since becoming the starter. 18.3 opportunities per game, 11.1 expected fantasy points, which is low considering he's getting nearly 20 opportunities, but that's because he's not getting those targets, right? And those are the high value opportunities. But even then, he's still an RB2 in volume. And in this matchup, I do think he could creep into that low end RB1 range if he can get into the end zone. It's a much better matchup than what he had last week. So this should be a much better game, a more productive game for Brian Robinson, who should be started as an RB2 with some upside.
Opponent's second highest run rate in the league this year when at home facing the Browns.
There you go.
Love him this week.
There
yeah.
you go.
Gibson's done for, isn't he? He's not, you can't rely on him. He's not likely to play. Jonathan Williams will probably get some targets, but yeah, no, I love Brian Robinson this week. Concur.
Yeah, I'll take the Commanders in this game, too. I mean, even if I don't love Carson Wentz, like, I just don't have a lot of faith in the Browns offense right now. So we'll see what happens there. I mean, Nick Chubb clearly playing with an injury as well. So it's just,
yes.
they're sputtering to the end of the season here, Cleveland. And I'm sure they're going to enjoy the long offseason there. All right. Colts at Giants. Gross. Just gross. I don't know what else to say. You both have stuff on me. I don't want to play any Colts this week. If you can avoid it, I get it. Pretty good matchup for Michael Pittman. I'd really rather not. go down the Michael Pittman road, just because, I mean, they're playing Nick Foles again. And I think Austin Eckler said it best on the show earlier this week. Again, they're playing Nick Foles again. So, yeah, that's how I'm feeling about all Colts in this one. But Marvin, what about on the other side with the Giants?
Yeah, I do think this is going to be a Saquon Barkley game. It's a great matchup for him. But, you know, I think the receivers here have some sneaky upside. I know Dalton's going to talk about one of them. But I do think Isaiah Hodgins has been interesting over the last 4 weeks, where he's averaged 20.6% of their targets, leads the New York Giants wide receivers in fantasy usage with 9.5 expected points. And he's heavily involved in the red zone. They seem to target him there. And those are the opportunities. Now, obviously, the 9.5 expected points is a low baseline. So this could be a recipe for disaster if you started him, but he's been solid and he's been involved. We've seen his snaps go up in recent weeks. So he's someone who you could start here, but I don't feel good about starting any of the receivers, honestly, especially on the Colts side, just because the quality of targets you get from Nick Foles. I mean, that's just, I don't even know if you can call those targets. I don't know anymore. So, but I do think Hodgins is interesting, but it's Barkley who should have a big game this week.
Hodgins is like the newest apple of the eye of my Discord, that every week they're like, hey, what do you got on this guy? Have you charted this guy? I'm like, oh, man. And it's, look, 13 touchdowns in his final college year, 6'4". Like, that's a hell of a drug. So I get it. But that's you guys led me down the DPJ charting lane before, and that was not a very fun experience. So I'll just, I don't know. But maybe Hodgins gets the treatment here at some point. But, yeah, Dalton, you got another of this great Giants receiver core you want to hype up in this one.
Yeah, sleepy sleeper this week. Richie James, after multiple drops last week, was not his best performance, but a tweet from Jerry Donabedian. Three slot receivers have faced the Colts since Kenny Moore went out, and they all have topped 20 PPR points. Two of them were CeeDee Lamb and Keenan Allen, admittedly, but the other was KJ Osborne's career game. He got 16 targets. So Kenny Moore has not been ruled out yet, but assuming he does miss this game again, Richie James is a sneaky play, because they've been pretty good against outside receivers. So he's obviously a deep sleeper, and it's a smash spot for Barkley. But Richie James, interesting. He's ran 83% of his routes from that said slot, by the way. So he's a deep sleeper.
49ers legend, Richie James. Exactly. Always would do the backflips at the in the quarterback kneel spot there.
And he erupted one Thursday night too, when no one else played because of COVID. He had a big Thursday night game too.
Once, I remember. Yeah, that was 2020. I remember that one. 49ers legend. By the way, just to update something we talked about earlier in the podcast, Christian Watson did not practice with his hip injury today. So keep an eye on that situation, like we talked about earlier. All right. A Sunday night slugfest between the Steelers and Ravens. Marvin, tough matchup for running backs for Najee Harris, although he has been sort of trending in the right direction lately.
Yeah, I honestly, when I was trying to dig into anything in this game, I just did not. It's not a fun game to dig into. There's not a lot of fancy relevant players here to hype up. But Najee Harris, at least from a usage standpoint, has been top 15 in my usage model over the last three games, a 25% target share last week, which is a season high. So that was encouraging to see. But the Ravens, they are a tougher matchup against running backs. They're the 27th best, but they did just allow Tyler Allgeier to finish as an RB1 in week 16. And the week before that, Chubb totaled 99 rushing yards. So there is an opportunity here for Najee to have a solid game, but I'm not sure it's going to be an RB1 game, an RB2 game even. He could be on that lower end flex, but we'll see. Obviously, you're starting him if you're in the championship week and he's taken you this far, but I would just temper my expectations in this matchup.
This is New Year's Day. This game, the Sunday night game, New Year's Day. You sleeping off your hangover at this point. You're in bed. You can go ahead and skip this one. You're right, Marvin. This is not a very exciting matchup. But Dalton, on the other side, I'm an idiot. Got myself excited about J.K. Dobbins last week. I know better as a fantasy analyst and to do that, but I did it anyways. How are we feeling this week?
Down on him this week. He had a big game against the Steelers last time they met this season, but man, he just split carries completely evenly with Gus Edwards last week. Dobbins didn't even see a fourth quarter carry. He has one catch since week 4. Just recently admitted that one of his legs is lagging behind the other following surgery. Steelers have yielded the second fewest rushing touchdowns this season. Tyler Huntley is just totally limits that offense. So, yeah, I mean, I'd look to a Tyler Allgeier, DeAndre Swift's upside, A.J. Dillon, someone like that, if I was debating Dobbins versus one of them in this matchup.
There's some weirdness with the Ravens right now. The Lamar thing is getting a little weird. You know, like John Harbaugh's kind of a little chirpy about it, I guess you'd say, when asking questions about Lamar's health and availability and stuff like that. I don't know. There's some weirdness. That's going to be like a storyline in the offseason for sure. The Lamar Jackson situation, the contract, all that deal. Especially this is the second year in a row he's not been able to finish. So there's going to be a lot of questions about that. Yeah. Definitely Spidey senses going off about that. But enough of that game. Let's move on to Bills at Bengals. This is like the game of the week. It's awesome. It's on Monday night. What a treat, Dalton. We get to watch this game. What do you got on this one?
Yeah, it should be fun. Nice standalone game here. A lot of fantasy championships decided. All the best ballers were coming down here with this game in mind. Tough matchup against the Bills, but Burrow just plays so much better at home. During his career, 7.0 YPA away, 8.6 at home. This year, it's similar splits. So the guy excels in Cincinnati, gets a nice matchup there in prime time. Fire up pretty much everyone involved here. You get the feeling this could be one of those nice like three tutty games from your guy, Gabe Davis, too. Don't you just get that feeling, Harmon?
Gross. No, I don't. Hey, let me tell you. No, I do not get that. Although, Stefon Diggs, I don't know if you guys have seen this, but Stefon Diggs earlier this week, because there was all kinds of like snow and weather situations going on with Buffalo. He was tweeting about it. And then he also sends out this tweet. This was on the 27th. So just a couple days ago, this whole cooking for yourself, 0 out of 10, wouldn't recommend. I'd be damn near too tired to eat after and then got to wash the dishes after. Yeah, nah. And then Stefon Diggs will not participate in practice this morning with an illness. Diggs, buddy, we're pals. You should have just called. I could have helped. I could have done anything to avoid this situation. So if old Diggs is dealing with, you know, the aftermath of undercooking, you know, some food, he's got an illness situation. I'm not trying to speculate here, but I'm just saying. Yeah, maybe then Gabe Davis has his big eruption game if there's no Steph Diggs in this one. But I don't think that's a realistic situation.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, the Bengals are giving up the fifth highest yards per reception of the last 6 weeks. So Gabriel Davis, man, this could be the game. This could be it. Right in time for week 7.
Right in time for Dalton to sail past me in the stupidest bet in fantasy football history. Although maybe Mike Evans just 3 TDs this week. Maybe we'll see. We'll see, Dalton. But what else do we got here, Marvin, in this game?
Yeah, I think this could be obviously a good matchup for the wide receivers involved on both teams, but also for the tight ends, where the Bengals are allowing the 13th most fantasy points to tight ends over the last 6 games, 3rd in targets allowed, 7th in receiving yards allowed. And over the last 3 weeks, Dawson Knox has been a revelation, a tight end 5 in expected fantasy points, tight end 9 in target share with 23%, tight end 7 in air yard share. And this is something we're not really used to with Knox, because he's a touchdown guy. He's not really the volume guy for this team, but we've seen that change over the last few weeks. And so I do think in this matchup, where he's been one of the hottest tight ends over the last, you know, several weeks, I think you can rely on him as a potentially high-end tight end 1 option in a really good matchup.
And also to add on to the Knox thing, Hayden Hurst also fully practiced this week. I mean, obviously he's not high up on the target tree, but regardless, you know, if you're desperate at tight end or whatever, he makes for a mildly interesting play there. Both you guys, just because this game is so fun and I'm going back and forth on how I feel about it. Dalton, I'll start with you. Pick this game.
Yeah, I'm going Bengals here. I like them 27-24 at home. I like them. I know the second half last week was weak, but they just dominated the Patriots in New England first half. I'm going Cincy.
Marvin, what about you?
Yeah, I like the Bengals here as well. Home matchup, obviously, and I do think this could be a high scoring game. And this is the perfect Monday Night Football game for you know, fantasy managers relying on a lot of these guys. I hope it's high scoring. I hope there's a lot of touchdowns involved, but I do think the Bengals could win this one.
I'll take the other side. I'll take the Bills in this one. I like the way the run game has come together lately. I think this, like, we're due for a pretty good Josh Allen performance. And I agree. Not only, Marvin, is this great that we're getting this game at the end here for all the fantasy championships and stuff like that. Like, this matchup will certainly decide a lot of those championship matchups, I would imagine. Also, we are going to need a palate cleanser after some of the mess that we're going to watch Josh Dobbs, Jarrett Stidham, I mean, some real goofball stuff is going on here in week 17. So it's good to end on this note. I am very appreciative that both of you guys helped me preview this strange week 17. Marvin, tell the people about where they can find your work and what you got going on both this week and the rest of the season.
Yeah, I first of all, thank you guys again for having me. This is it's always fun to hang out with you guys. But as far as my articles go, I have one more article that just came out here, kind of prepping for week 17, a couple flex options based on my usage model that you guys can read and hopefully find some success in with those picks. But over the next 2 weeks, I'll be recapping some of these players for a full season, kind of looking at guys that overperformed from a fantasy usage standpoint, guys who scored points above expected, and then guys who underperformed too, and that'll be the following week. So those are the two articles that'll be coming out on the website in a couple of weeks.
Amazing. Definitely make sure you check that out and make sure you're following Marvin and all the great stuff he's doing. Dalton, what about you?
That's all, man. Just follow me on Twitter as usual. You know, I actually am going to fire off a best of. I do one tweet. You always make fun of me, Harmon, but I do one yearly tweet talking about my favorite TV shows and movies. And that is coming up because it's the year, the new year. But just please, George Kittle, someone put him in bubble wrap. Please stay healthy, George Kittle. Now, I feel this is awful. This is set up really poorly for you, end poorly here. But anyway, good times talking to you guys and good luck to everyone in their fantasy championships.
My God, Dalton. I mean, if something happens to George Kittle, I don't know how you're going to live with yourself. At least I wouldn't be able to live with myself if I was you. And I'll say this for Dalton, even if he will not, make sure you read his sit start column this week. I mean, it's an important week. Make sure you read it this week and every single week. And it's not just some little goofy start this guy and don't start this guy. Well, you know, that you see all the way out there in the fantasy industry. It's much more in depth than that. He's giving you great stuff that you need to know. So make sure you're reading Dalton's column this week. And next year as well, because I'm sure he's going to write it again next year. And it's a banger every single year. So make sure you're reading that. Make sure you're keeping up with Marvin's work as well. That is going to do it for us. Your fantasy season might be over, but that does not mean that you're not still going to go on the Twitter machine and follow at @FF_MarvinE and at Dalton Daldon. I mean, you got to get ready for that yearly tweet from Dalton. I mean, he's starting to put some stuff out there. The eyes emoji on the betting line. He's tweeting out his article links. I mean, you could maybe do a little bit better sell, Dalton, than just like column is up. You could maybe sell it a little bit more. Tweeting more and putting yourself out there more in the new year. That is my New Year's resolution. Don't give a damn about myself. And because of that, you definitely don't need to be following at @MattHarmon_BYB, but it is there if you're interested. And of course, make sure you're following at Yahoo Fantasy for all of the good takes and good tweets. Andy Behrens, the great Andy Behrens, will be back with me on Monday with a recap of these interesting week 17 games. Until then, we're out.